Accession number 19912, Reel 6.
Mr. Weinberg, Reel 6. You were just telling me about this lady who gave Monty all this valuable information about Sicily.
Yes.
Did you make use of her when...
No. I learned about her many years later because she came to England. She married an English gentleman and fell very ill and were lying down 3 years, and I visited her twice a week and looked after her when I heard about her, and the association looked after her also.
But when you were on your mission, how did you manage to get the German officers to talk to you?
Good question. I met them in the coffee, and I told him as I was up to see that everything was going all right, that they had the dress for the winter time, and that I was looking after the providing the real arms and everything. I was ordered to see to it that everything was going all right, but that there was a way to do that they never suspected, and then they came out that yes, you're right, we are going on that, and that will be von Rundstedt who will open the, and we will beat the French again. And you see, things you learn in time when you do these missions. I have in total 12 missions, of whom you can see on the picture. I have all the 12 triangles
on the photograph.
On the photograph, which show that I did these 12 missions.
But who are you pretending to be in Stuttgart?
I was pretending to be a civil engineer from the providing firms of uniforms and of arms and all these things which they definitely needed for. I was briefed to that, and they really believed it, because we were briefed in a form that they had to believe what we were talking. The main thing was to make contact with his people, not to be suspected for a moment that that it was somebody who was, let us say, on the other side of the wall. And that is what you learn in these schools when you go on these special missions.
Did you come close to being discovered when you were on this mission?
No. I don't think so. I don't think so, but no, as I told you, I never anything that happened to me. And sometimes I wonder how, if I think today, I don't know how I did it and how I came out of everything. I can't even believe it. That is, in my religion, from the religious point of view, I say that somehow I spoke with my rabbi. Somehow it was the will of God to do something against those who wanted to destroy us.
And did you just memorize the information, or did you write any of it down?
No, I memorized it by then. Don't forget, I was only 25 by then. And there my memory was completely different to today. It was 81, as you can imagine. And it wasn't always very pleasant, because you never knew what was the next moment. And the thing which did really help me was that I spoke German without any accent whatsoever. That is very important in these things. You knew even words which normally you used only in the German army. Is very important also. But I came back and went to Marseille. And in Marseille, I wrote down all the things which I had to write down, and gave all the informations. And in Marseille, there was a big prisoner camp of only German officers. When Ronstadt on the Christmas Day that he started the offensive, the British Secret Service informed the commander of the camp that they suspected that the Germans would parachute troops into Marseille to free the officers, because they had need of officers, which was logic that would happen. The French commanding officer had organized already for Christmas Eve a big fiesta outside the camp for all the French ranks at the moment there in the town, and Edith Piaf was in Marseille at that moment to sing. He said to me, I would very much like you take over during the Christmas, as you are Jewish, you don't mind, because you actually have nothing to do with Christmas. I said, I don't mind at all. So you go ahead and have all the fun you can get. As a matter of fact, it was another reason why I didn't have any counter to it, because I had fallen in love with a British ATS girl, a nurse. And that nurse was free at Christmas Eve, and she said, Henry, I come up and we have a good time together. And I said to myself, that is the occasion. And suddenly a warning came that Ronstadt had opened the offensive exactly where we thought he would have done, and where I had told them where it would start. And the British Secret Service again called and said, careful, they may parachuting to get the officers out. So I called the officer in command of the German officers, and told him, nobody tonight goes out of the barracks. Anybody who does will be shot immediately without warning. My men, that was the guards, were black troops, and I gave orders that anybody of the German officers who would alight out of the barracks had to be shot on sight without warning. So they stood inside, and they may have thought whatever they want, I didn't mind. After Marseille, and I stood in Marseille about 2 weeks more, when I heard the disastrous news that my General Brosset had fallen, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't believe it. But unfortunately, it was like that. Unfortunately, he didn't listen to the people of my group who told him that the jeep he had borrowed, because his jeep didn't work at that moment, was not good with the brakes, and the jeep, if he would have to brake down all the way, strongly braking would bring the jeep out to the left. He said, that doesn't, I don't mind. And he told him also that if he would go to that, over that bridge, the bridge was not in order. There were some holes in it, and he had to go very slowly to go on the other side. The good general did not listen. He did go like hell together with his adjutant. I don't come on the name of it. Why can't I remember at the moment the name? It's a famous French film actor.
No mind.
I don't know.
It's probably on the record anyway.
I think it is. So he was killed immediately. He fell into the ice-cold water. He, when he saw that there was a hole for him, he did put the foot on the brake. The jeep turned left, did go over the bridge, and they, both of them fall into the water. He was immediately dead. And Jean-Pierre Aumont, Jean-Pierre Aumont was his adjutant, broke his arms only, or his legs, I don't remember that exactly, but he was dead immediately. And that was a very big stroke for the division, because the next general, by name Garbet, was everything else than Brosset. He became the general because the law in the French army says the oldest colonel of the division becomes the next general if the division general, if something happened to the division generals in battle. They had no time to say to König or to anybody else, a general, to get him to the command of the division. there are a lot of good generals still. I never make any friendship with this general. I never had any personal contact, meaning personal feelings for him. I did whatever he wanted. He did not know. I never gave him my position, my right position, what was going on. And the division now came up to the north. You know that the second DB, Free French DB, that is the Panzer Division under Leclerc, the General Leclerc, did conquer Strasbourg again, did free Strasbourg, and we were ordered to defend Strasbourg against any further assault of the Germans. And the Battle of Strasbourg, which did go on, was bad, very bad. We had a lot of losses. I was ordered to come immediately up to the headquarters because there were still German soldiers in American uniform, and we had to do something about that. So we did make a control post between Sellestadt and Strasbourg during the battle. And one evening we stopped an officer's car. The driver two American officers, and in the middle a German officer. I was suspecting something. Rah. I said, two American soldiers and a German officer with his hands back in, you know, these, what you call it?
Handcuffs?
With handcuffs. I have never seen that Americans take prisoners and handcuff officers. So they overdid it. So I said in Germany, in German language, fahren Sie mal schnell nach links an die Seite. That this means go immediately to the left on the side. When he did that, I knew, and the driver was in American uniform. When he did that, we put the machine guns on them, got them out, and that was that. You know that a man, a soldier, who takes the uniform of the enemy is killed immediately. There's no question about that. And nobody will ever tell you that you murdered somebody. But they were shot on the spot. And the German lieutenant was put in a prisoner camp. So they thought they would think with this trick that we thought really that they were Americans. On the other side, we found another method to find out. You know, the Americans, when they open a cigarette packet, they just put a little hole, and then they threw one cigarette after the other, and they out. So only one cigarette can come out of the packet. The Germans open the whole thing, and you can take any cigarette out you want. So if we suspected somebody, we ask him, do you smoke? We just get some new cigarettes, try them. And as soon as they opened, we knew exactly if they were Americans or if they weren't. That was one thing the German Secret Service did not know about, you see. And this was another mistake. I don't know why they did that. I never have seen before that any, not our, from our side, on our side, that any officer would have been handcuffed sitting in a staff car with two other officers. And that was too suspect for them. So this is what we did in Strasbourg. Strasbourg was a terrible battle again. We had heavy, heavy losses. And almost we were about to withdraw when the Germans went away. I don't know why. Nobody knows. You will see, I don't know where you put all these little things. There's a Strasbourg dome on it, and on the back it says, from De Lattre, from Leclerc, it says to Garbe, I hope you didn't have too heavy losses by defending Strasbourg, which I, with my men, freed from the occupants. We thought that from there now we would go into Germany, but the division was ordered back to the southern France, into the Alps, where in it of the Italian side, Auriton, there were still German force defending themselves, and it was our way, our order to finish this German brigade who was in the mountains of the Alps of Auriton, which we did. After that battle, we were ordered to Nice. In Nice, thanks to the American, I lost again two of my best men, which had an accident on the motorcycle. They went without permit on the highway in this with a motorcycle, and I don't know if they were drunk or what happened. Anyway,
is this Nice in the south of France?
Yeah, they had this accident. They are very badly hurt, and soon as we got them in the ambulance and wanted them into the American field hospital, which was the nearest, the Americans refused to take them. When they came to the hospital, the French hospital, there were no way anymore to save them. And the doctor said if they would have taken, the American would have taken him, they would have had a chance to save them. I'm not at all against the American forces, but sometimes I could not understand the way they handled the British and the Free French. They were definitely heroes in the Pacific, but I have a bad impression in of some of them, and of some of the officers in the battlefield in Europe. I don't know why, but these effects. A human being, even if that would have been a private who would have had this accident, a private person, I think any doctor should immediately have looked after him when such a man comes from an accident, bring into his hospital. Why they refused, I don't know. As a matter of fact, I think that maybe that in a certain way the man who was responsible was talked to in a way that he should not have been talked to. I don't know. There are, as I told you, 12 missions in total I did. There's one of it, I don't know if I should talk about it, because I very frankly tell you, it is concerning the protection of General de Gaulle when he visited the Pope Pius XII. You know that at this moment there are a big discussion, was he an anti-Semite or wasn't he with the Germans? And I say, with all responsibility, he was with the Germans, and in no way was he for the Allies. And I can prove that if ever it is necessary, and I stand up to that, because my experience I have had with the Vatican in the way to protect General de Gaulle and Marshal Alexander, the British Marshal Alexander, was absolutely and can be confirmed by others who was on the group who protected him. But I think I don't want to make at this high bad blood, and I hate to go into religious things because I respect every religion, and I don't think that I should get into it in details. After the battle and after Nice, we were again taken to rest in Paris. There exists a book written by